Welcome to A Better Lifestyle. I am your host, Richard, and I will be with you throughout this journey. This show is here to empower individuals to do more in life professionally. You will find a variety of topics that will help you to be more productive and more successful. So join me and the professionals from different industries as we bring education and knowledge for more success. Hey, I just want to apologize in advance for the audio recording. There were some minor issues during the recording, so I hope you still enjoy the podcast. Thank you.
Hi, everybody. My name is Richard L'Espérance, and I go by the name of My Man Richard. Today, we're going to talk about real estate success story with Roderick Capello. Do I have the name right?
That's correct. Yes, sir.
Great. So he has some success in the real estate industry, and he's going to talk to us about his journey, how he got to where he is today. Please, Roderick, tell us a little bit your story, your background, from where you start, from where you begin, and how did you get started in the real estate game?
Well, it's quite a circuitous route, but you know, growing up, I was blessed to have a very supportive family and be good in school, and so decided to go to medical school. You know, everybody thinks doctors are rich, and you know, once you get through that gauntlet of medical school and residency, that it's smooth sailing, which is what I thought. I thought what society thought, and now I know otherwise. But so I went to medical school, and my dream of becoming an orthopedic surgeon. And then, you know, and I started my own practice with a partner of mine, maybe about 17 years ago. And, you know, for a while, things were going pretty well, you know, practice is growing. And then I had a meeting with a hospital CEO. Basically, they made a decision that was completely beyond my control, where my compensation would be affected about 40 or 50%. So that's significant, right? And that's completely beyond my control. And then I found out literally that same day, like a God thing, I was about to close on a house that was going to double my mortgage. And then I found out that same day that the hospital made this decision. And so I'm thinking, wow, that's unfortunate. What am I going to do? And literally that same day, one of my best friends called me and said the question we've all heard, do you look at ways of making money outside your regular job? Which, of course, marketing call, which I didn't know anything about, right? So I did what most surgeons do and join a network marketing company, in sarcasm, right? So, but I did, because I needed a way to generate more income besides medicine, income that I could, that was within my control. And so, you know, to make a short story eternal, basically through that company, I got involved in personal development. So, you know, reading books about positivity and success and communication and attitude, things like that. And one of my good friends asked me, hey, would you like to go to the home of Jim Rohn, who's one of the foremost business philosophers in America, his former business partner, for a mastermind group? I thought, what's a mastermind group? Doctors aren't exactly known for helping each other out. And so, but this was a fantastic group of various industries, real estate professionals, where they were coming together to help solve each other's problems. You know, now I know what a mastermind group is, and it's just, you know, for their previous experience and trying to help their fellow colleagues, you know, through their difficult times in their business or personal or whatever. In that group were some very successful real estate investors. And so I realized through talking with them, hey, this is this whole avenue of stuff I had no idea about. And as a doctor, you know, we don't really act, especially a surgeon, unless we know what's going on. So I began studying, which is what, you know, most people do, I think. And I went to some conferences and I had no idea the difference between a cap rate and not a net operating income. Those words meant nothing to me. But over time, you know, over about an 18-month period, I went to several conferences a year, and it made sense to me. And then I decided, through one of my good friends who was a real estate syndicator, to make an investment. And it went well. And then through another doctor friend of mine who was also syndicating, I made another investment. And that was going well. And all the while, I'm learning more about this industry, learning the language, learning, you know, who to know, what things to do, and just formulated a really strong network of real estate investors and syndicators, specifically in the multifamily space, but also other under industries. And I just realized at the time that I was in a very unique position, a lot of our doctor friends get pitched everything, right? People think we're rich, so we have all this expendable income. So they get all this investment thrown at them. But honestly, our walls are pretty, pretty thick because we get pitched things all the time from people that are both scrupulous and unscrupulous. So I realized that, I knew the people that I was investing with, they were friends of mine. I was investing alongside them. And so I decided that, it was really my duty to bring this information to fellow physicians and friends and family and just people in my network because I was having success. And I'm one of those guys that likes to win with friends, right? So if I'm going to have success, I'm not going to keep that to myself. I'm going to say, hey, look what's working. So that's kind of how all this got started. I started investing passively through friends and through the avenue of network marketing, which is a kind of an unusual avenue for a doctor. And here we are.
The hours of doctors is sometimes hectic. So how did you find the time to do the real estate on the side while you were doing
Question. The way I look at it now is, when people say, well, I don't have the time, to me, that's like the adult version of the dog ate my homework. There's plenty of time out there. We watch television, we surf the internet, if we actually calculated how much time some of us spend on social media, it's a huge time suck, right? And so the time is out there. And so, I think if something means a lot enough to you, you'll find the time to do it. And if you won't, you'll find an excuse. What I tell my kids is, you're going to find a way in or find a way out. You're going to find whatever you're looking for. So tell yourself, the right thing so that you find the right thing. So I just made the time. Most of the conferences were on the weekends. And so I did that. And most of the time I talked to people was in the evenings, on the weekends. And so, and any holes I had in my schedule over coffee or lunch or things like that. And I just, the way I look at it is this. One of my friends told me this one time when I told him I was too busy for network marketing. He said, let me just ask you this, Rod. If your mom had cancer and she had to drive 1 hour each way to have chemotherapy 3 times a week, would you find time to take her? I said, well, hell yeah, I would. Oh, excuse me. Yes, I would. Well, why? Because it's important to me. Okay. Well, then if things are important to you, you'll find a way. If they're not, you'll find an excuse.
And when it comes to financing strategies, what's your strategy for getting financing
for your deals? Well, what's that?
For your deals.
Yeah. I'm part of a couple of different coaching programs, and within those deals, we have other friends in our network that are in the mortgage industry, lending industry for real estate, commercial real estate, and mostly I've dove deep in multifamily. And so, usually we'll do, 70% LTV, or at least back then. Now it's a little different with the environment that it is now. But we'll usually raise about, 30, 40% and then get the rest of financing so that we can all, at least when the interest rates were low, leverage was a great way to amplify your returns. Now it's something that you have to put in the equation and consider cost of all of that, but that's primarily through just through commercial financing, mm-hmm. as well as syndicating.
Okay, and are you doing the real estate full time now, or you still have your foot in the?
No, I'm still a practicing pediatric orthopedic surgeon. So orthopedic surgeon for children. I own my own practice. I have since 2006, but I do have I have some PAs that work with me, and I'm able to schedule. Within my schedule, some chunks of time during the week where I can meet with people and get on calls and be a guest on your podcast and things like that.
And what was the other question I was going to ask? I forgot. When it comes to your portfolio, how is your real estate portfolio at the moment?
So let's see, I still, I'm a passive investor in 2 deals that are still going, and I'm on the general partnership or active investor in about 5 deals or 6 deals, I'm a passive in 4. And so, overall, I mean, they're most of them, except for one, we're having some specific challenges, are doing fairly well. I mean, they're not like before, right? I mean, not where a lot of investments across the board have suspended distributions, where that doesn't necessarily mean it's not gaining value, but it's prudent to monitor your cash flow with the expense of everything going up. Like insurance is going up, and many times the debt service is going up, and you know, and various costs of, you know, with inflation, or many things are going up. So although the occupancy is good and the income is strong, you know, it's not as much of a cash flow play, at least for me now, as it is more of a, you know, a long term asset play as far as building the value of the asset to one day either cash out, refi, or sell like we've done in the past.
And which type of assets do you invest in?
So for the ones that I'm part of the deal sponsorship, the general partnership, it's primarily multifamily. You know, 100 to 400, 500 door states and states where it's easy to do business, like Texas and Arkansas and Georgia, you know, the Southwest United States, primarily Arizona. I am a passive investor in several other deals, a couple of strip malls, which are doing reasonably well. Let's see what else. Self-storage units, things like that. But that was what I got involved with when I was primarily a passive investor. But now what I'm doing more actively is multifamily.
So would you say it's a good side hustle that you have in your hands right now, what you're doing with the real estate?
You know, a good side hustle, I think, is it's a track. A good side hustle to me is a track. It's out there if you put in the work. And, you know, there are times when I'm able to really accomplish the things that I want. And there are times when, honestly, my W-2 keeps me very... Is it a good side hustle? Absolutely. And it is because I'm able to bring investments to friends, family, colleagues that would not otherwise either have access to that investment, or if they were brought, that investment were brought to them from someone else, they probably wouldn't look at it because I bring the trust. They know me, and they know that I know the people that are, that I'm part of a team putting this investment together. And so they're actually open to looking at it. So yes, I think the side hustle, which ultimately hopefully will be my primary hustle, is good. You know, like anything, there's challenges, right? You know, two or three years ago, everybody who was doing multifamily and other industries were a genius because, you know, the market was such that, you know, you just needed to be able to fog a mirror to make money. And what I like about the challenges that we're having now, that the market is more challenging, there's no question. But what that means is that the tire kickers have gone away, and the people that want to take this as a professionally are the ones that are kind of sticking to it.
So what about your colleagues? What do they think about what you're doing right now? Do they know, like, are you doing real estate or?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. As much as I can, I just mentioned what I'm doing to some of my colleagues. And it's interesting. I've gotten... responses, right? The thing about doctors is that you know, most of us already know everything, so you can't teach us very much. So I've had colleagues that says, you know, tell me all what they know about investing and how I should or shouldn't do this or that, and they've not made a single real estate investment. And so they're talking about theory when I'm talking about practice. And so and then I've had the other end of the spectrum, which was really the reason that I put my company Fortis Equity Group together, and had an anesthesiology colleague that's a really nice guy. I do probably 60 or 70% of my cases with him. And, you know, we're just chatting during the surgeries, and I've just kind of explained what I'm doing, and over, you know, several months, even maybe a year. And then I just invited him to get on the webinar for one of our investments, and he did. And I set up a follow-up call, and, you know, he asked me a few questions, mostly just not to look like a pushover. And then what he said next is really the reason that I put my company together. He said, "Rod, I don't really know about this investment, to be honest with you, but I know you and I trust you. And if you're going to invest in it, then I'll put..." Really why I did this is you know, you always have to take a leap of faith at some point in your life. And at least I think his point was, my leap of faith is one I'm comfortable with because I know you, you're investing alongside, you're putting your money right next to mine. And I know that if I can trust it, I can trust you. So that was very heartwarming for me.
Before we were talking, you were talking about the challenges, some of the challenges a little bit. Can you tell us a little bit some of your challenges that you face during the process of the real estate investing?
Well, several. And I would say probably the biggest challenge is in my own head, to be honest with you. You know, one of the things I try to focus on is these days in my life is what limits me. What is it that's, what's the thing in my way? And what I realized is that oftentimes it was my own thought process in my own head. And what I mean by that is, you know, I guess most people probably think a surgeon is, you know, the typical one you see on the movie that's, you know, super arrogant and narcissistic and things like that. And that's not really my personality. I try to be as humble as possible. And honestly, with medicine sometimes, and with real estate, I would have what they call imposter syndrome, right? Like, I know what I'm doing is right. I'm investing and I'm having success. But, you know, why would this person invest $250,000 with me when I'm a surgeon? And so that's just my own fear, my own apprehension coming out. And so a lot of the challenges were within me, not just finding time, because I can overcome that, but it is, you know, knowing that, listen, I know what I'm talking about. I'm an intelligent guy. I operate with honesty and integrity. I've done my homework. I've studied this industry prior to investing passively and continue to study it through very, very sharp people that are friends of mine that will help me. And so I would say the primary challenge, to answer your question in a long-winded way, is quieting the doubter in my own head. Not because I wasn't having success, but because sometimes the loudest voice we have to overcome is the one in our own head. And specifically, as far as the mechanics of it, you know, challenges, like I sort of alluded to it, you know, a lot of physicians there.
It cut up. Oh, I can't hear you.
I was just saying physicians oftentimes, they know a lot about medicine. And so they assume they know a lot about other things like money, because sometimes that's very, it seems to make just common sense. And so, but the problem is that they don't. And so some of the challenges have been, well, I guess they say you can't be a prophet in your own land. Challenges have just been, you know, along the lines of, I know you know me as a surgeon, but this is all that I do, and I'm quite knowledgeable about, you know, would you listen to me talk about this? Well, you're a surgeon. What do you know about this kind of thing? So a little bit of that. And then, of course, the challenges of the market, which interest rates going up and the price of everything going up and trying to make the numbers work, both the deals you have going on and potentially new deals. So certainly there are challenges there, but I would say overall, my entire journey, the challenges of the market are just recently. Overall, in my entire journey, the challenges initially were my own mindset, which I'm constantly working on. And then just some of the responses I got some very favorable responses, as I alluded to earlier, but then did got a fair share of people sort of not really believing that, you know, that I knew what I was talking about or telling me all they knew, things like that.
And what are some mistakes that you made?
Mistakes. I think some, I'm doing real estate syndication. So one of the things I try to do, and I'm doing different aspects of it, including capital raising and real estate, investor relationship and things like that, due diligence. And so I think one of the biggest mistakes I made is combination of trying too hard to convince my colleagues initially when this first started that what I was doing, because then it's more like, then you feel like you're selling them something, right? Versus just the neutral attitude of, here's what I'm doing. And if you want to jump along, great. And if you don't, my toes are still tapping. It doesn't make any difference to me. I'm just bringing something to you that I believe in. So it was more personal to me then. It was like saying, no, I'm not interested in this investment, was like saying, no, I don't believe you, or no, I don't trust you. And what I realized over time is that's because it was about me. You know, in my mind, it was about me, and really, what it is about now is them. Right? The timing is not right for them. Great, that's fine. I'm going to continue to invest, and so when the timing's right, great. If the timing's never right, totally fine. And so, you know, those are some of the things I had to overcome there. You know,
And some lessons that you've learned in the whole process?
Well, I mean, I kind of alluded to some of them. Are some of what I've said already have lessons wrapped into it? Like, you know, some of the lessons I've learned, and again, it can go from something very concrete like due diligence. You know, one of the properties that I've invested in, and it's the one I alluded to that wasn't doing very well. You know, some means, you know, mechanical, physical, like. The water main goes into the entire complex, not to individual buildings. So when pipes burst, we had to shut off the water to the entire complex, not just an individual building. Well, residents got upset and walked. And so, you know, so in that situation, I learned.
It cut off.
You lose the connection. Is that better?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
So you said in that one you learned?
Yeah. In that one I learned something very concrete, like let's make sure that the water supply to each of the buildings in a multifamily investment and not one water main to the entire complex, but one into each building. That's something very concrete and physical. Other things I learned are, you know, like I said, mindset and prepare, not sell. You know, how to talk to myself in a manner that real that that I know what I'm talking about, that I, you know, that I not have that imposter syndrome. Because at the end of the day, and maybe it's just me, I know a lot of people put their best foot forward. A lot of people you meet, you know, they're super confident. I'm very transparent, you know, and so I don't try to be falsely overconfident, right? So I'm with my very close friends, I'll tell them, listen, I'm worried about this. I'll be very transparent with you. Not with investing, but I just mean my personality as a whole. And so, Just not listening to that, realizing that I've had success, I can share that success with others. That it's about them, and as long as I share and keep the primary focus on what is best for the investor, what are their goals, where are they in their investing life, what is their risk tolerance, not what do I have on the table, but what are their goals. That's kind of some of the lessons I've learned.
What would you say overall for someone who wants to get started in the real estate investing game, what would you say to them?
Well, as a
it cut off still again.
Is it just happening just for a moment? Is it back now?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know if it's the internet connection or.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Maybe the connection to the side of my computer with my headphone little jack here, but I'm sorry, repeat your question.
Yeah. What would you, what advice would you have for someone who wants to get in the real estate game, investing?
Well, I would say, first off, I think you do have to educate yourself a little bit. You know, it's not necessary to become an expert because then you've just essentially created another career and a lot of time that most people invest because they want to free themselves of some time, not, you know, put more time in. But I think you have to educate yourself to some degree so that you can understand what folks are talking about. I think that that you have to put yourself around people that have had that type of success, whether it's meet people through meetups, talk to other colleagues that have invested, you know, different things like that. Because you know, otherwise you're just you're reinventing the wheel. There's so much you can learn from other people. And I think you need to, you know, it's a process. You know, no, I wouldn't expect somebody to just go down and put $100,000 on an investment for someone that just met. You know, you have to meet people. You have to understand where they come from. Make sure that they operate the same way that you do, as far as honesty and integrity and transparency. And then educate yourself to some degree. And then really, one of the main things is act. You know, ultimately, you can do all of what I just said. And if all of it is a preparation to do nothing, so then there'll be no success if there's no action. And so there's, once you feel comfortable, once you've done what you need to do to put yourself in a comfortable mindset, is to act, is to invest.
Where can people learn more about you, on social media or the internet?
So they can go to my website. It is Fortis. That's Fortis. FortisEquityGroup.com, or you can email me at success@FortisEquityGroup.com, they can be connected to me. And if anybody's interested, You know, first thing I always do is schedule a call to sit down and see what their goals are and where they are and their investing and their risk tolerance and things like that, because it is not one size fits all. I do have relationships in different asset classes, and sometimes you know, the asset class that I'm involved in is not what's best for them. And so they can reach me at success@fortisequitygroup.com or just fortisequitygroup.com.
Okay. I'll have the information in the show notes. Thanks, Roderick, for being here. It was nice meeting you. I hope some people found some value in this episode and they learned something so they could apply it in their journey. So thank you, Roderick, again, once again, for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it very much.
No problem. Thank you, everybody, for taking the time to listen to the podcast and watch the podcast. Wherever you're listening to, make sure to, if it's your first time, make sure to follow and subscribe. And also, you can leave a review on Apple Podcasts. It helps other people to discover the podcast. So thank you once again, and we'll see you on the next episode, everybody. Bye.